We're in verse 23 and 24 of chapter 7 of John. We're going to be here for a while. Again, two things interesting, just to back up a minute. Jesus is talking to the Jews and the crowd of people, and he said, I did one work or deed, and you all marvel. Notice the word he uses. And for this reason, Moses gave you circumcision, not because it was from Moses, but from the fathers of the patriarchs. And on the Sabbath, you circumcise a man. He's implying you did some kind of work here. If a man receives circumcision on the Sabbath, so that the law of Moses will not be broken, remember it was included later on into the law of Moses, are you angry with me because I made a man well or healed him on the Sabbath? So remember, what the Jews are angry with is, among many things, what they're splitting hairs over is that you healed this man, you did this miracle, but you told him to pick up his pallet or his bed and walk, and they considered that work. So they were arguing he's broke the Sabbath. See, they were nitpicking. And so this is why Jesus is answering them because of this. Again, this is not the first time they brought this up. Remember, this was very important to them. And so we need to understand Jesus' attitude toward Sabbath keeping. He believed in keeping the Sabbath, but he looked at the spirit of the law as well as he looked at the command of the law. And we'll see, according to God and according to Jesus, there were times you could break the outward command of the law if the spirit of the law was done properly. And the Jews had no concept of this because they were so legalistic and so narrow-minded. They thought ceremony and form was more important than anything else. And this is one of the reasons Jesus called them hypocrites, how they were very exacting on keeping ceremonies, laws, and feasts. But the spirit of the law, they consistently broke by disobeying God, by not giving justice, by being covetous, by being hypocrites, by misrepresenting him to the people. So they'd already continuously broke the law. But they were careful to make sure that if they were going to nail him on the minutest thing, because they did not want to believe who he was. And they didn't believe. So that's why he called them hypocrites. But he's going to answer them because the people are present, because he does not want people believing publicly. And that's why he will explain what he did when it was necessary. He kept the law perfectly. And if he ever did an outward act that it seemed like appearance-wise was in conflict with the law, he's going to show us it was not. And he's going to give us examples. And again, the Jews come at him with this on several occasions. This was one of the main excuses they used. Up until he claimed before the priests later on that he was the Son of God, that he existed before Abraham. This was the main point of contention which they could have brought him before the leaders with. Later on, once he was judged and tried before the priest, and the priest rips his garments when he gets him to say he is the Christ and he is who they understood to be the Son of God to some degree, the priest rips his garment and says, well, we don't need no more witnesses. We don't need to haggle about the law anymore, the Sabbath. You know, he's already damned himself by what he said. So it shows you they were wicked in their intent. What he had previously told them, you are murderers and you seek to kill me. See, he judged their motive and the intent while they used religion and godly principles to do it. That's what made them more evil, which showed they were what Jesus said they were. They were children of the devil, you know, and they would use God's word to pervert things. Okay, let's go to Mark chapter 2. Now, verses 23, we'll go all the way to 28. And it happened that he, Jesus, was passing through the grain fields on the Sabbath. And his disciples began to make their way along while picking the heads of the grain. And the Pharisees were saying to him, look, why are they doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath? Okay? Again, they were saying they're working, they're reaping. They're not supposed to be reaping or sowing. They're supposed to be resting on the Sabbath. But again, we're going to see how Jesus answers them. And he said to them, have you not read what David did when he was in need? Notice what it said. When David was in need, and he and his companions or soldiers became hungry, how he entered the house of God in the time of Abner, the high priest, and there was the consecrated bread, which was not lawful. He ate the consecrated bread, which was not lawful for anyone to eat except the priest and his family, which is implied. And he also gave it to those that were with him. It's interesting why he quotes this scripture. David did not initiate the eating of the showbread. The priest did. When David asked for food, and the priest recognized who David was, that he was one of Saul's servants, and he was anointed and special, and David basically wiggled around because he didn't want to know he was fleeing from Saul. So he simply said, I and my men are on the king's business, but we are hungry. And it's interesting, the priest said, we have no food, no common bread ready. But the priest said, it's interesting, David didn't say this. So actually, this is why Jesus is quoting this, that it was a priest of the temple who freely understood that he could do this without breaking the law, because he went to the spirit of the law. He said what? David said, we don't have time to wait around for you to cook meals. We're on an errand for the king. Who is the king? He's the Lord's anointed. We're on special mission. Whether it was true or not, it didn't matter again at this time. The priest believes this, and simply again, he sees that this is a servant of the king and his soldiers, and so they're hungry. And they said, we are on an errand, and we do not have time to wait around if you fix a meal. And it's the priest who initiates and says, there is no bread, but there is show bread or consecrated bread. And immediately the priest says to David, it's interesting what he says, you can have this if your young men have kept themselves from women. If they have not been fornicating, what he implied, or in gross sin, they are able to take of the consecrated bread that priests eat. And it applies that he understood the spirit of the law and had no compunction and didn't have to run and inquire of other priests. He saw what? They were in need. They were hungry. These are the Lord's anointed soldiers. And therefore, the higher law they understood came into effect. And the priest had no second thoughts about offering them if they were right and they were not in sin. It was what he implied. And that's why he asked the question. And David said, they've been with me the whole time, so they've had no time to be around women. You know, and so that was basically what he was implying, if they were not in a state of sin, and that he would offer them the bread, you know. And so again, he uses this, and of course the Pharisees don't know how to answer this, to attack the priest when the law did not, or no one else would be attacked themselves. So they had to find a way around this. So Jesus knew, and he gave a perfect example of when, under normal circumstances, they would not have given the bread to any traveler or any passerby. They told him, you wait until the meals are fixed. But David, again, being the king's servant and being soldiers with him, was on a special errand. He understood then that he could do this. He understood the spirit of the law. But then Jesus goes further to explain something here. Now he entered the house of God, and he ate the bread, and he also gave it to those who were with him. And Jesus said to them, the Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. See, this was the hypocrisy of the Pharisees. This is the hypocrisy of a lot of religious people. They're very interested in form and ritual when their hearts are not right with God, and God considers it hypocrisy. You know, they'll go through all the outward forms and do everything that appears good when they're dead inside. And Jesus implied it's better, you know, to look at the inward. Remember, we talked about that Solomon basically broke the law when he consecrated the Levites to offer sacrifices. There were so many thousands of them offered, and he extended the place of the outer court so that they could do the sacrifices, which was not done. Only priests did this, and the Levites were called in to help them. Well, this was not done under Moses. And yet, when Solomon did this, because he did it in the spirit of honoring the Lord, the Shekinah came down and filled the temple. And not only that, that shows you how God honored what he did and did not reprove him for it. When the priest came in to do what the law commanded, to minister and sing and so forth, for the Lord forbid them. How did he do it? He filled the temple. They were not able to do the work of a priest, which the law required. The spiritual took precedence over the natural. So it shows you again, when the spirit of the law on ceremony can be laid aside under certain circumstances. It cannot be done lightheartedly nor at whimsical. Again, it had to be, again, as Jesus said, if an ox fell into the, or a donkey fell into a ditch, these Pharisees would work their butts off because they were looking for money and how much it was worth to them. They would have worked, and they saw no law against this. But Jesus, he said, when I heal this man, you're going to accuse him. He called them hypocrites for it. You know, this is the son of Abraham. I heal a human being, and you call it work, when you would have no problem not call him at work if one of your animals fell in a ditch that would cost you some money. See, he always went at the spirit that they broke. They observed the outward, but not the inward. And Jesus implying there is both. And there's a time and place that God will allow us to break the ceremony when necessary. See, again, we're going to see the privilege of us in Christ that we're not bound to days and months and foods and ceremonies. That's what was abolished, and that's what we are free from, that the Jew basically had to uphold to under normal daily circumstances. Again, they did not observe these things when war broke out. There were certain things they could lay aside for the higher principle. And so what was he saying? God made the Sabbath for man, not man for the Sabbath. See, the Pharisees reversed it. They thought it was more important. What did he make the Sabbath? Before we go on, the Sabbath was what? That men should cease from their normal activities and their self-labor and their cares of the world and lay this aside for one day, that they could concentrate their spiritual activities and their mind and their duties toward God. This was basically what the Sabbath was for. It was for man's spiritual good. It was not that man would observe the Sabbath simply because God said it's holy. The purpose was that you will worship and serve the Lord and concentrate on him. So God was saying, I initiated the Sabbath under the law for that purpose, was to serve you spiritually. It was for your benefit that I did this. I did not give you the law of the Sabbath to put you under bondage. It was to make you more spiritual. So he was simply, again, telling the Pharisees, again, how you have twisted the law and misrepresented the keeping of the Sabbath to the people, you know, that you've put a lot on them that God himself did not. And notice he says another interesting statement, so the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. Evidently, when the disciples were doing this, they did it with Jesus' permission and without his reproof. So he took the credit for it and basically linked himself with them. When the Jews said, you know, your disciples are doing something unlawful, they had done it by what? He claimed to be Lord of the Sabbath. He's simply saying what? As David basically was busy about the king's business, you know, that's the higher law. I'm busy about the king's business, and that's the higher law. And we are roaming and we're traveling to preach the gospel and the kingdom, and therefore we are hungry, so it's permitted for us to eat whatever food is available and prepare it if we have to, because there was no one with them. And see, again, under the law, anyone could walk through your fields of corn and wheat, and they could eat what was there. That was a part of the law. They could not carry anything out. But God made that for the poor Jews and others. You were not to, when you went to reap your grapes and your harvest, you were not to go over it twice. God, the law says you had to leave that for the poor and the strangers. It was to make sure there was always sufficient food for those who had nothing. So actually, that was a command of the law, you know, that you were not to be that cheap and stingy. To go over, you were to make sure that let others that don't have anything, that they can eat. So they were doing what was legal on any other day, and Jesus implied, because I'm the Lord of the Sabbath, and I come to do the Father's work, the Sabbath is, I'm not bound to the Sabbath. No, I'm bound to the Lord, I'm bound to the Spirit of the Sabbath. And if I'm about my master's business, then there's going to be many occasions I can lay aside the ceremony of the law, and I don't have to do. You couldn't travel on the Sabbath more than so far. Jesus was doing this also. You know, they were forbid. They had to travel something like a half a mile. Now they couldn't go far on the Sabbath. We're not told, but he says they're going on their trip, you know. So again, he did not see no bondage. Again, the Jews had a problem with it, but he understood, again, the spirit of the law. Again, what was he doing? Jesus was working. The law forbid selfish working and self-interest as far as that kind of work. Taking care of your own business, he says, no, you lay that aside to serve God and worship him. That is your spiritual work. That is your service. So Jesus gives us the key here that we're going to see later. Go back to John, but go to 5, chapter 5. Look at verse 17. And he answered the Jews, my Father is working until now, and I myself am working. When was he working? From the time he was baptized with the Spirit until the time he said it's finished on the cross, he did not cease to do the Father's work. So he could not have ceased on the Sabbath and obeyed all of the rules of the Jews, because he would have broken the spirit of the law. He was called. Again, you have to remember, too, prophets superseded the principles of the outward ceremony of the law often when God called them to do certain things. They were, again, applying that the law taught principles and rules, but there was a higher law. And if the law of duty to God and circumstances, man's health or war and certain events, the ceremony could be laid aside, you know, for the higher law. And again, so this is what Jesus is applying then, that I can heal, I can deliver, I can preach the gospel, I can travel, because I'm always doing the Father's will. And the Father is Lord of the Sabbath, and he is not bound to the Sabbath. He made the Sabbath for man, not for himself, which is interesting. So again, we have to understand why he was doing this. Again, to teach them that their bondage, outward bondage, was not God's will, and it actually became a burden often to people at the expense of their traditions and their hypocrisy. They had misrepresented God to the people. He meant for the Sabbath to be a blessing, not a burden. And see, they had basically reversed it, you know. Okay? Back to verse 23. Okay? And notice again, he talks about you circumcised. This was a work involved. You had to go through ceremonies. There was usually eating and celebrating, again. But this was done on the Sabbath, and it was permitted. See, the eighth day was the Sabbath. And so Jesus says, you're willing, can't you understand the spirit, that you're cutting off the foreskin and actually damaging a baby and doing physical harm, but the law requires this for him to enter the covenant of Israel. And there's crying, and then the people celebrate, and the women prepare a meal. This is work, but they were permitted to do this at a circumcision. And all the Jews understood this. You couldn't do some of this stuff on any other occasion. But, see, because you had to be circumcised on the eighth day, which was a Sabbath, it was permitted. You know, it ran back again. So we need to see what he's talking about. He's saying you're hypocrites, you strain at gnats again, and you're overlooking what God intended the law to do. You know, you have misrepresented the spirit of the law to the people. Well, that's why they couldn't recognize who Jesus was. That's why they couldn't see many things. That had blinded them. You know, they were more important in outward religion, and their heart was not right with God. Therefore, like anything, Satan perverts religion. He always seeks to pervert religion. Okay? And again, Jesus told these priests and religious leaders that their father was the devil, and it was not God. So it's interesting who was running the system. As far as he was concerned, much of this was run by the devil. And worldly influence is what he was talking about. Okay. Going on, so we'll understand. So even today, that's why I tell people, and we get conflict for doing this, Sunday keeping, people who are bound to Sunday are no better than people who are bound to the Sabbath. It's not scriptural. We're not under days anymore. when people try to teach and ministers, and you know that all of a sudden the early church switched their Sabbath to Sunday and now we have to observe Sunday. Foolishness. No such teaching in Scripture. That's man's tradition. That's church tradition. It has no basis in Scripture. They often met together on the first day, but there was no law nor any command by any apostle to do this. It's interesting. It was never put on them. And to show you further, Paul definitely did not believe in it. I'll go to Colossians. Chapter 2. Verse 16 and 17, speaking to Christians, the Gentile church. Therefore, no one is to act as your judge in regard to food or drink, or in respect to a festival or a new moon or a Sabbath day. He was saying what? When they tell you that, and this is used in the singular here. Some people like the Seventh-day Adventists pervert this scripture and try to say, well, that word means Sabbath, special Sabbath. That's being hypocritical, because special Sabbaths had the same power and influence and command as the normal Sabbath did. At times they had special Sabbath, and you were to treat them the same as a regular Sabbath. So he was given it the equal command. But Sabbath here is used in the singular. So what is he telling the church? He says, let no one even bring up the subject. It's none of their business whether you observe a day or don't. You know, don't let them bring you under their power. See, if you want to worship on Sunday, that's fine. But again, that worship's outward. If you're not worshiping 24 hours a day and you're not walking in the Spirit, you're not saved anyway. You're not a Christian, so no matter what you do. The Christian lives in a perpetual Sabbath. The word means rest. The Christian lives in a spiritual rest if he follows the Lord. And we're going to see this. But the Jews, again, people misunderstand Scripture. James and the Jews kept the law, and they were zealous about it for Jewish believers. It was symbols and types, and they did not offend the religious leaders. They were trying to be a light and a witness, but they felt no bondage to it. But James and the church and Paul said, we don't want this on the Gentiles. It doesn't concern them. Interesting, the two most important ceremonies, the services under the law, were Sabbath keeping and circumcision. And you can find not one scripture in the epistles where the Gentile church is commanded to do either. And they were the two most important ceremonies to the Jews. Never once, and actually you find Paul warning them in Galatians, he said, I'm afraid of you because you observe days and months. He says, you Christian Gentiles have been brought under the control of these Judaizers who are trying to put you under the bondage of the law. And he implied maybe you need to get saved again. That you want to be set, you want to, if you're going to, and then some of them are being circumcised. And he says, you Gentiles, if you do this, he says, then you're bound to keep the whole law. You're simply stating that you're still a sinner under the judgment of the law. And the law was not made for the righteous, but the unrighteous. See, again, this is what he explains in Romans. So again, never once do you find a scripture where the Gentile church is ever told to keep the Sabbath or to have anybody circumcised. And then people, again, because they don't rightly, he had Timothy circumcised because he was half Jewish. And he was going to minister to the Jews. And he wanted not to have an offense. That's why he did it. He became a Jew. But he never did this, as far as we know, with Titus or any other Gentile that had no Jewish blood in him. See, again, he could become a Jew to win the Jew. He could use ceremony when it suited him, but he saw no bondage to the ceremony. See, again, he was living and telling the Christian, that's how Jesus lived. He said he could observe ceremony. He kept the law where the outward was required until the exception of the rule came into place. Till the higher law came into place. Till God's... See, again, we have the example. Peter is told directly, and him being a Jew, he was told from the vision to arise and eat all of these certain animals that the Jew never ate. And him being a good Jew, he told the Lord, I have never eaten anything like this. And he said, I've never eaten anything unclean or common. And you know what God said to him in the vision? He says, do not call impure what I have cleansed. See, that alone should show the Gentiles, and this was a Jewish believer, Peter, that God was saying, you're not bound to this system anymore. And yet Peter, like James, they kept the law, and they kept the ceremony, and they tried not to offend the Jews because they lived in Jerusalem. And they obeyed the authorities where they could, until it became a conflict and until the destruction of Jerusalem. Most of the apostles tried to stay in Jerusalem. But after that, you find no teaching from any of them trying to reestablish ceremony or laws for anybody. So again, we have to rightly divide Scripture. So what is he says? Let no one judge you. Let no one put you under control. For these things are a shadow. And he's calling the Sabbath a mere shadow. What's a shadow? Something that passes on. Something that doesn't isn't that important anymore, is what he's saying. Well, that's what God called the law to a great degree. The shadow. You know, it was better covenant coming into play. These are a shadow of things to come, but the substance, the real thing, belongs to Christ. So if he's Lord of the Sabbath, what does it mean? And he's always doing the Father's work, then what is he saying? Then the Christian, if he has Christ in him, he's always doing the Father's work if he walks in the Spirit. He's doing a spiritual work. See, he's not doing his own works. He's doing somebody else's works. And wasn't that what the Sabbath was for? To tell the Jew, you cease doing your own works and you do God's works. That's basically what the Sabbath was intended to teach them, was to get your priority right. Understand, you know, what I require of you. Okay? So again, Christians do not have to observe Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, any day. All days are the same. But if you gather with people on a certain day, obviously then you have commitments and duty, but again, it's not a bondage because you have to. There is nothing holy about Sunday. It's false teaching. Again, to bring people under the bondage of earthly things. You find no such teaching by the apostles. Romans 14. Paul has just said, don't let no one judge you concerning feasts and foods and so forth. And Paul here, or Acts, the writer, says what? Romans 14, 17. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking. It's not observing foods, what you can eat and what you can't eat, which the Jew had to do. He said, but what is the kingdom of God? Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. What is he saying? The law taught much outward. It was a shadow. And it meant for you to do a lot outward because you were not people who could be indwelled by the Holy Spirit. And God dealt with you under a lesser covenant. And he required a lot of this under you to teach you principles as we put children under rules and regulations to teach them things. So he was saying the law was a shadow of things to come. But he says, but the kingdom of God now, he says, is what? It's a spiritual thing. Righteousness, peace, and joy is nothing tangible. It's the life of Christ. It's the Holy Spirit working in the believer. And so he's simply saying, so you are not bound anymore to the schoolmaster. This was abolished and nailed to the cross, the outward ceremonies, which even James said, you're trying to, as Paul, he said, you're trying to put things on the Gentiles. Peter said that neither we nor our fathers could do perfectly. That was his implication, that we couldn't keep a lot of this stuff perfectly, and we're not going to put them under this bondage. See? Yet it's interesting that James and the Jews were zealous of the law, the Christian Jews, and they wanted to live it outwardly as a witness and a light to their brothers. And because they were used to all the ceremony, they did not consider it a bondage. But they did it from the right spirit. James says they're zealous of the law. And see, he meant the outward, the ceremonies. But he said, but we don't want you Gentiles being brought under this. He saw no need in it. See, again, we have to understand time and place. When Paul came to minister at synagogues of Jews, he acted like a Jew and he observed the ceremonies of the Jew. But he did it from the right spirit. See, he didn't do it because this did anything for me. So he simply said, what? I don't want to put a stumbling block before I can get the gospel out to them. I don't want to do something that offends them so they'll throw me out and won't listen to me. So I can do this. All things are lawful for me. That's what Paul meant. But all things are not expedient. There's time and place. See, he wasn't talking about morality. He wasn't talking about murder, stealing, lying. We're not free from that. You know, that'll send people to hell. He was talking about we are free from the ceremony and the outward things of the law, the eatings and drinkings and all the feasts, all these things we had to do. He says, we're not under that. They were shadows. But now the real things come. Jesus is here now. The Spirit's come to indwell us. He gives us the ability that the law could not give, so we do not need this control anymore. We do not need this lesser check, because now we have the one living in us, the originator of the spirit of the law and the ceremony. He says, you're grown up now. You don't need this. See, that's what he was trying to tell them. So he's telling us the kingdom is different. So do not allow yourself to be brought under someone's judgment in this matter. That's why Paul told the Christian, he warned them, don't judge your brother in these lesser matters. We're going to find later on, he's not talking about morality and lying and cheating and stealing. He told us how to judge in that matter. But he said, if your weaker brother can't eat certain food because he still don't know it, he says, then don't bother him. But he's not to bother you either. If he feels it's bad to do this or that, or he feels he has to observe Sunday, let him. But you don't have to be brought under it. He says, if he thinks it's bad, then let him do it. It means his conscience and his spiritual intellect has not been enlightened properly. Okay? So this is what it means. Hebrews. So we'll see, are we without the Sabbath? Yes, we do not keep the outward ceremony. And we will see what we are supposed to be doing. Hebrews chapter 4. Look at verse 9 and 10. So there remains a Sabbath. Listen to this. There remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. Who's the people of God? We are. Who's the Hebrews talking to now? He's talking to the Christian. And he was talking to the Christian Jew. He said there is a keeping of the Sabbath, but he's going to explain something here. For the one who has entered into his rest, and this is what a Sabbath represents, has himself rested or ceased from his own works as God did from his. He's given us a great illustration and people miss it. What is the Sabbath that the Christian's keeping? It's a perpetual Sabbath. It means when he enters the kingdom of God, he begins to work for God. His works do not cease if he bears fruit. And he does this, what? Consistently, because he lives in the Spirit. So he keeps the Sabbath because Jesus is the Lord of the Sabbath. He acts the spirit of the law, which is what? Jesus explained it. All of the law hangs on what? Two laws. Love the Lord your God with everything and your neighbor as yourself. Well, isn't that basically, that's the spirit and the principle of the spiritual kingdom too. God's Christ's kingdom. See, it hasn't changed. And so what is he telling us then? There remains a rest. And he says, why? Because you cease from your own works. He's given it as a symbol, as God did from his. When did God cease? It's interesting. See, people, again, are not understanding what God is saying because they don't read far enough. God created the heavens and the earth, the natural universe, in 6 days. And the scripture said he rested from his works. But did he cease working? Never. We're going to see he has never. He ceased from the natural creation. He isn't creating any more planets and stars. He did this at one time. So he's simply given an illustration, but he is eternally working. And so what is he saying for the Christian? It's the same thing. You used to have to observe people under the law once a week the keeping of the Sabbath because you were in the natural realm. You were not indwelled by the Spirit. And Jesus created the natural realm in 6 days and ceased from creating the natural realm. But he did not cease from working. And we're going to find several scriptures to back this before we come back to Hebrews. Hebrews 1. So we are to cease from our own labors, the natural, as Jesus, as God did when he created the earth. But we are not to cease from working are being worked on by the Lord. See, this is what we're going to see. Hebrews chapter 1, look at verse 2. In these last days, he has spoken to us in his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom he made the world. When he created the universe, how did he do it? The Spirit acted and the Son spoke. and the Father spoke in him. He was helpful because he was the deity in the creation of the natural world. But it doesn't stop there. And he, Jesus, is the radiance of his glory, the exact image or representation of his nature to humanity. And he upholds all things by the word of his power. The natural universe was created in 6 days. But the Son and the Word of God is sustaining that creation even now. What does it mean to uphold? There's a continual work going on. The Creator created the universe, and all of the laws and principles are sustained by him, whether natural or spiritual. See, that's what he's saying. He upholds all things by his word. And who's the word? The Son of God. See, the word of God who created these things. So he's telling us again that God has not ceased from his working. He ceased from the natural creation. He's still creating. People say God's not creating. No, he is. But his only creation now is